KIUH, good morning. KFA-FTC. Good morning. Are you out on the road?
Yes, sir. I just started down in Lincoln Park, coming up the Southfield Dragway. Just about 94. It's slow, but it's moving. They didn't plow anything.
Yeah, it's, I'm on 94, coming up to 9 Mile here, St. Clair Shores, and it is ridiculous. Nobody did anything to the roads all night.
I think, other than plowing, I don't think the salt sometimes when it's really cold, because I think salt makes the road worse, you know, by melting and freezing right away. But, yeah. Well, it's not my first year in Michigan, so I know how to drive in it, but some of the other people are questionable.
Yep. Now I can see why they called school for 2 inches of snow, because they knew that they weren't going to do anything to the roads.
I thought it was kind of comical that the weather people last night on Channel 4 were admitting that they'd made a mistake or something. And, you know, oh, we weren't expecting this. And, you know, how they'd missed the forecast. And I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, I knew it was supposed to get cold yesterday, but I had no idea that it was supposed to snow, let alone have measurable snow.
My brother has a landscape company, and they're plowing snow. He's got a contract for Notre Dame over there in South Bend, and he said they got almost 12 inches yesterday. He's been working nonstop there for a couple days now.
Yeah, they get lake effect snow a little different than we get snow over here, that's for sure.
I'm kind of a weirdo, I guess, because I like it. I grew up over there, and when I tell people over here that it doesn't snow in the city, they just don't know what snow is like. You know, this is an inconvenience today, but back home, they probably still have school.
Yeah, well, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was going to school, we would have had school today. There's no way they would have called this off. This is hilarious.
I like now when they call the days at school because it's cold. Welcome to the real when you got to go to work. I think we're cheating the kids out of the experience.
Yep. It's, you know, school was called before we went to bed last night. My daughter went to bed, and 5 minutes later they called school, and then my wife, the teacher, and 10 minutes after that they called her school. It was like before 10:30. You know, there was an inch of snow on the ground, and they were calling school already. But like I said, they probably knew that they weren't going to do anything to the roads, so they called it early.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised the plows haven't been out. You know, especially since it's going to be cold. You think they'd clear it out so they can at least keep the roads smooth and it won't get the ice. But I don't know. Maybe it's above our pay grade.
Yep, maybe.
So I've been studying. I think I told you yesterday that I've been studying to do the general test. I got it down where I can pass it with about 88% now every time on the sample test, so kind of looking forward to doing that. I had a question I was going to ask you guys today, and I'll be darned if I can remember it now.
Well, that's cool that you're working on getting a general. I need to get my general and just have not committed the time. I'm telling these guys all the time that, I'll get it, I gotta get it, and just life gets in the way and I don't spend the time studying.
Well, truthfully, I've been trying to get it just so I can reach back here to talk to Matt And then I realized yesterday that, you know, I can't do that from a mobile, even on a HF frequency, so I'm going to have to find a different solution for that. But I figured I'm already this far into studying, I might as well just keep on going and take the test. I don't know if I'll ever take the amateur extra. I don't think I have the capacity for that. But
you know, at a certain point, it has to exceed capacity, and you have to have a need for it. Otherwise, it's, I don't know that it opens up as much as going from tech to general.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know exactly what you can do with the amateur extra that you can't do with the general. I haven't looked into it, but and truth be told, if I could find a repeater network that would get me back over here once I move, I probably wouldn't even wait for the other one. But I have a place I can put a repeater, I think, down the street from my house on a tall barn, but I don't know how much repeaters cost, and I don't know 100% that I'd be allowed to do so, but there again, you know, I'm stepping off into another midlife crisis, spending a bunch of money on something I'm not experienced with, right? KF8FTQ.
Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a repeater and there's nobody there to talk on it. So you got to think of it that way, too. I would get, when you get over there, or when you go visit, whatever it is, I'll just start calling out on the repeaters. There's bound to be people listening on the existing repeaters. They're just not talking on them. And if you start calling out regularly, people will start knowing your call sign, and they'll start talking to you. I'm convinced of it. They wouldn't manage the infrastructure if there weren't people using it. You just possibly haven't figured out what time those people use it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I loaded up the radio with all the repeaters between here and back home along I-94. I didn't want to overwhelm my radio with a bunch of repeaters I wasn't going to use, so I listen as I go over, and I try to keep track of when I hear, you know, when I hear people on there and whatnot. I did email a couple of guys over there, a couple of clubs, and one of them was pretty welcoming, you know, and explained some stuff and what their repeaters were doing. And the other guy told me that, nobody uses analog anymore. Everybody uses digital. You're not going to get to talk to anybody over here. And I thought that was a really negative response to give a fresh ham. But I just pushed him aside and kept doing what I'm doing, right? And I do call out on the signals, on the frequencies there, just to see if anybody comes out. But you're right. If it's not during their normal times, it's hard to get a response sometimes.
WINX, can I break in?
Go ahead, breaking station.
Whiskey India 8 X-ray, my name is Chris. There's no frequencies. There's no 2 meters, there's no 440s available. They're either being used for analog or digital. The only area you could probably put a repeater up is on 220 or 900. Plenty of frequencies.
Yeah, he's not talking about doing it in this area, so I don't think he has to worry about having a repeater pair. It's a little more remote where he's talking about doing it, and he's already said he's looking to do it the right way if he does it at all. So I'm sure he'll figure that out.
The other thing is you could put up a SNPR, a single non-protected pair, but if somebody who already has a frequency in that area, you'd have to shut down temporarily for that moment. But that's a thought. You know, it's where your separation would be maybe 100 kilohertz or something like that. Like on two different simplex channels. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough when you want to set up a repeater. And the repeaters range in price from you know, $300 to $1,000 just for the repeater. Then you got to get it set up. You got to buy an antenna. You got to get hard line. You got to have a site, stuff like that. Been there, done it. Good luck.
Yeah, that's just a future thought for me, but St. Joe County and Cass County over there, there's only one repeater in St. Joe County, and there's never any action on it, and it's not linked to anything that I can find, and I'm in the kind of central St. Joe County, and I can't quite reach the Portage or Kalamazoo repeaters. You know, it just kind of leaves me in a little dead spot. So by the time I get to the area where I can reach Kalamazoo, it'll be time to go to work. So I won't really have a lot of time to chit chat. But you know, I'll just keep working at it, and I'll figure it out. You know, it's no big deal. But if they could get the repeater link system that linked the west side of the state and the east side of the state, well, that'd be great. But I may have to look into going through Indiana or something. I don't know.
Well, this repeater system right now that we're on, I don't know where you're at, but I'm coming off the Detroit repeater in downtown Detroit. This one's linked up to, I think, four different frequencies. The other way to do it is to contact the Michigan Area Repeater Council, MIARC, MIARC, and talk to them. They're the frequency spectrum management people. They would best be able to tell you what you can do and direct you in that fashion and tell you what may or may not be open. But there's a bit of research to be done, and we got plenty of time. Have a good day, guys. Careful out there, eh? I'm not leaving the house. It's dangerous for me to go out walking with a cane. Have a good one. Bye-bye. WIAX.
You know, I would look. There is a link repeater system over there. I think it's the IRA, I-R-A. There's a website. I don't remember what it is. I've found it in the past. But if you looked up, I think it's W-8-I-R-A. I don't know if they're linked that far south, but it is a linked repeater system on the west side of the state.
Yeah, I've got them. I got them programmed in. I think they get over about by Battle Creek, but I think that repeater system will run all the way up the west coast. I think it goes all the way up to Traverse City, up through Grand Rapids and whatnot. You know, and this LTS, isn't this linked to most of Michigan? Aren't we theoretically talking, you know, clear up in Mackinac and Sheboygan and stuff right now, you know, where they can hear us?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's some repeaters that far up. The majority of the repeaters are, like, in the central Michigan area, like Flint up through Saginaw, Bay City, and then west. Some, if you go on their website, it definitely shows like heat maps of where the connectivity is, so you can see that. But yeah, there's the Detroit, and then usually there's a repeater that's linked in Warren, one in Mount Clemens, and then up into Flint, Saginaw, Bay City, and over west, not too far, but you know, I don't even know if it goes all the way over to Mount Pleasant or not, but it is a link, pretty big link system. There's some, I think, like going up 75, there's some holes, like in the Grayling area, but they have a large, large footprint on this network.
I've been looking at that, you know, repeater book, and then MIARC's got some stuff on there that I've been flipping through there and trying to find things. I guess in Ham for Dummies, I wish there was a place that you could just type in linked repeater systems, and it gave you a map that just had, you know, that set of frequencies, that set of repeaters on it. There may be one out there, but I haven't found it yet. But I think I'm pretty much covered on the statewide. I haven't tried any, you know, I haven't done any contesting or anything to that effect, you know, trying to see how far I could reach. Or to be truthful, I'm not even sure how to call a contact. You know, it's way out of the area. If I wanted to call a contact in Traverse City just for contesting type purpose or to make the contact, I don't know the protocol to do that yet.
Yeah, that isn't really, can't really be done with these mobile radios. You need to use a different frequency set. Like, as a tech, you could use 10 meter if you had a 10 meter radio or an HF radio. Or, you know, there's some opportunity to get a little further out on sideband, which I just learned recently. But with these, with UHF, VHF, it's line of sight. So you're very much limited by your elevation and the elevation of the receiving party. So, you know, we're getting good distance because these repeaters are up so high. Otherwise, you know, if you're just simplexing with a 50-watt mobile, you know, in good conditions, you're getting a couple miles, hopefully. But it's not, you're not going to get to Traverse City. There's a low probability that you would get from, you know, Detroit to Royal Oak. So it's not the distance when you're working VHF, UHF. It's very localized.
Yeah, I guess I was under the impression that I could just repeat or bounce my way all the way up there, you know. But again, I'm still learning this stuff. But yeah, I got my first simplex contact the other day, and I was just kind of tickled pink. It kind of was fun, you know. And it was a guy over here in, I was in Livonia. He wasn't far from me, but I forgot his call sign. I'm terrible with that stuff.
Yeah, when you can work people on simplex, it's pretty cool. Just because you know there was no infrastructure in between the two of you. You guys just did it on your own. But as far as, like you said, repeater bouncing, that would be more like, you know, it's a internet-linked system, and somebody, you're on this repeater, and it's also linked via internet to a repeater in Traverse City, and you guys could have a conversation. That I'm aware of, there isn't really anything that it relays it from one repeater to another, bouncing one direction or the other. It's all internet, at least today. The ones that we're using right now are linked via internet. Go ahead, breaking station.
We do have some linked repeaters that if you can get into it, like Ann Arbor, if you can get into the 146740 machine over there in Ann Arbor there, it's linked to a bunch of repeaters there. I love repeater hopping. I got a 16 element beam, dual band beam. It's 8 on VHF, 8 on UHF, and with my Yaesu 991A, we put out 50 watts on 2 meters and 440, and I have a ball, especially when the band opens up. When the band opens up, I can get into Grand Rapids, I can get into Ludington, Michigan, I can get into Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, a bunch of places when the band opens up there, yeah, right?
Now that was kind of what I thought I could do. Again, I'm still learning, so I guess I thought that if you got on a repeater that was linked in the state, that when you heat up or talk, it broadcasts on, you know, if there are 7 repeaters on the link, that it would broadcast on all 7 repeaters at the same time. Maybe I misunderstood, but that's what I was saying. If that's the case, how do I call a guy and say, hey, I'm looking for a contact in Midland, you know?
Well, there's a chance you may be able to, and there's a chance you may not. If you know, if they got a repeater link you can go on the internet, and I forget where you can go to it. Just type in a link of repeaters in Michigan, and it'll bring up a map, and you'll see certain link repeaters all over the state here. Like even in UPs and down in probably Indiana, Ohio, stuff like that. But we don't have one. That's the closest one that I know to us around this area is Ann Arbor. So if you can get into that, then you can get into the system there, Roger.
Yeah, I'll have a look at the repeater map again today and see what I can do. I'm just having fun kind of learning my way and what I'm doing wrong or doing right. This group on LTS has been they've been a great group, and I'm when I move away, I'm gonna miss you guys. Not being softy or nothing, but everybody's been pretty helpful, and I'd like to be able to reach back across the state through repeaters for now to be able to talk to them. KF8FDT.
Well, you sound like you're pretty new. Your call sign is KF8 what now?
KF8FDT. Yeah, I just got my tech license, I guess it was in December, end of November, middle of December. But I bought a handheld and then was just using that for a minute. And then, of course, that escalated into a mobile unit. So I bought a Radiodity DB50 and a basic antenna set up. And here I am.
Well, I don't mean to leave the other gentleman out there, but, you know, that's why I started off. I started off with an HT, and then I bought a mobile mag mount antenna. And with a connector, so I can connect it up to my HT with a speaker mic, and that was 5 watts in the mobile. You can go a long ways, but even a mobile antenna. So anyway, I'll let the other gentleman in there. I was just scanning and heard you guys in there talking about that. But you know, I mean, well, wherever you are, you can always use Echolink. I mean, I'm sure we got plenty of Echolink repeaters around here, General Motors, Livonia, Clarkston. There's a bunch of them got that you can talk to either your phone or your computer and stuff like that, then, right?
Good morning, WAWW.
And you're in Florida?
Negative. That doesn't happen for 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Morning, sir. BD8RUH. I think you kind of left behind. Sorry about that.
Good morning, W8WW. Just falling to work here on 96.
Yeah, I just got off of 96. On the middle belt, I work over on Plymouth Road, so got to get my breakfast. This is KF8FGT.
Jay, which district you going to work today?
My normal is number 6, 10 and 12.
Let me see. Number 6. You work in District 6, let's see, 10 and 12. 10 and 12. That's District 6.
Yeah, yeah, that's the inside northern district.
Well, they must have switched around since I've listened to my scanner. I remember when they only had four districts, and then all of a sudden they branched out. I mean, when Detroit Police was on DHF, then they went to 450 UHF, and now they're on the 800 megahertz. So that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, we have six districts.
That other gentleman, the new one, he can go ahead there. Let you in there. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I barely made it to outer drive. Good morning there. I just heard you all in there and wanted to say hello.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I just was passing through and I heard these two gentlemen talking about a certain repeater link, repeaters and stuff like that in Simplex. We got so many different roles to choose. I'm everywhere. I'm on 2 meter sideband, 6 meters, you name it, I'm there. and AWGR, 5G. James, how far you get to work?
Well, I got to go down to Grand River there. I get off at Rosa Park to take that over to Michigan. I mean, I haven't even come up to Southfield yet. I got to go and make a call and let them know I'm going to be running late.
Well, where's the main headquarters now is on Fort Road, isn't it? Fort Road.
Right behind MGM.
Okay.
All right, have a good day, gentlemen. WHWW.
All right, James. How you do likewise. 73 NAWGL.
Sorry about that. I was getting my breakfast at the drive-thru. I got one other question before I hang up for the morning. WW's coming through nice and clear, a little bit soft. But I'm sorry I don't remember the other call times. Or the other guy, you got a big radio. You're loud on my end almost to the point of being distorted. In the TV world, we used to call that a big radio. So my question is, what are you using?
Oh, I got to turn my beam, I guess. Well, either, let me see how much power I'm running. Hold on, let me, because I don't want to be distorted here. Let's see. I'm only putting out nine watts. That ain't too bad. I'm using a Yaesu 847 radio. It's a bass radio. It covers 440 all the way up to 160 meters and sideband and FM stuff, FM AM and all the good stuff in between there, Roger.
Yeah, you're not
distorted to where I can't hear you or make out what you're saying, but there's a difference between you and the other guy. Obviously, it's equipment, but I don't know. Just one of them learning questions. Some people have microphone gains, I think. I think that might do some of that, maybe.
Well, yeah, I got a mic gain on this radio too. And on the microphone there, so yeah, sometimes I have to back off because sometimes I had my mic up too high because I turn it up high when I'm on HF, on 20 meters, 17 meters, it seems like they hear me better when I turn my microphone up there, Roger.
Double unit.
Well, now, what's up, Sean?
on my way into work. I was talking to Anthony elsewhere, and I didn't realize I wasn't here. Usually check in here in the morning on the way. Lo and behold. So good morning, gentlemen. Just trying to make my way out of this, these horrible road conditions. W8FU.
Yeah, Roger. That new station out there, if you got any questions, that's the man to ask. Right there, he can tell you about the link systems and all that there, Roger.
Yeah, they've been a great help all along here. Matter of fact, Tim and, come on, I can't think of his name. Anyway, they were my first contacts, really. I hear them most every morning. I listen every morning on my way to work just to, because I know that they're out there, you know, usually 6:30 or so. And yeah, there's a wealth of knowledge from those guys, and I'm sure thankful for it. KF8FCC.
KE8RUH.
Hey, morning, Anthony.
Yeah, morning, guys. It was just due to dry, try to keep it going. We, you know, that used to be a thing in ham radio. There used to be morning drives going on all over the city, and, you know, there'd be crews, but COVID came and just killed everything, you know. For the longest time, there's just no drive time, air time, and, you know, now there's little pockets popping up here and there at certain times, but the drive time radio is always been a great thing. So try to keep it alive. That's why Anthony and I were accidentally over on another frequency, and I said, "Oh wait, let's go over there." Anthony, go ahead, jump on in there. We got Jay, and I think is that Mike. I think. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yep. Hey, I'm. This is going to be my final. I just wanted to stop back in and say hello to those guys again. It was good talking to you gentlemen this morning, but I am pulling into the office here momentarily, and I'll have to get my stuff out of the car and get on with my day. So everybody that's driving, stay safe, and we will talk soon, hopefully, if not tomorrow, on Monday.
KE8RUH,
have a great day, guys.
Well, 73 is from NHWGL.
Hey, Sean. My final two. I wanted to apologize to KE8RUH because I think I might have just babbled on and cut him off a few times. But if you guys catch me doing that and I'm talking out of place, please feel free to correct me and get me in line, but I'm pulling into the establishment myself. Gonna go have my coffee and breakfast and see what the day holds for me. So, you guys be safe out there, and thanks for the conversation, and we'll talk to you tomorrow or later today.
Well, we look forward to hearing from you, sir. We love talking to new hams and stuff like that, and, you know, so you take care, and hopefully we'll catch you on the way back there. This is November 8th, Whiskey, Julie Lima.
We had somebody else jump on in there. Yeah, 7-3, we'll catch you anytime. Don't worry about it. That's how you get the hang of it. You just got to jump on in there and, you know, and go for it. No big deal. It's intimidating when you're new, but especially when you got guys that have been doing it for a long time and seem comfortable at it, yeah. But you know what? That's how you do it. You just jump on in and just figure it out. Nobody's going to bite your head off. Anywho, did somebody say, "Hey, John, I thought I heard something to that effect"? Jay?
Yeah, John, yeah. I don't too much get around on this machine here. How many repeaters you got linked up here, Sean, on this one?
Well, I don't know which one you're coming in on, but Central Michigan Emergency Network
their MI-1 network is here, and there's probably, I'm going to just pull a number out of my Dupa, there's probably, 10, 12 repeaters there in Southeast where you're located. There's DJ's machine, 142.175, and then there's the Monkpoint UMP machine on 3625, I think, I forget. And then other various machines throughout the state. The FBI network, which is also connected to this, we have normally the 2.6, which is offline right now, the Richmond, Romeo, and West Bloomfield, which is under the weather as well. So the FBI network is a sad little poopy of a couple of repeaters on this whole network right now.
Okay. Well, I can get into, the one I'm on right now, see, 142.175, I can get into the Flying Beer, 442.600, I believe it is. Phil, you still got this machine up and running, 442.500, something like that.
Leave a little room in there for anyone else, any other ships at sea. But, so Phil's machine is very low profile right now. He lost his site, and we have another site, but we're working on two other alternates that, for reasons, might be better than the third. And we're going to have to probably at some point get that one back online. But it's running low profile out of his house because he lost the original site. He's working on one that's very near the original site. It's kind of a first choice. And I haven't done much on it for the last month being, the holidays and all that. So we got to get that one back online, higher profile. But it is still there. You probably won't be able to work it. And 2.6 is there in all its glory. Just we lost the microwave between its site and the rest of the MI6 network, so it's standalone right now. So if you're on 2.6, that's it. You're not going to hear nobody else except for those people on 2.6. So a good place to go, just hang out and monkey around because you're not going to be going out anywhere until we get that fixed. We're hoping Saturday, but I don't know, with this weather, it's looking pretty low.
Yeah, Roger. Don't you have all one on 442.625? I don't know. I think I ran across one I heard you guys talk on that, or repeater that good.
Yeah, there's a 225. There's a 2.225 in Richmond. That would be a real long haul for you. And then there's the 2.075 out of Romeo. And then the 2.6 and then the 2.5. So those are the those 65. Now it's the UMP out of
is that 365? Okay, you're getting out of range of this one there. Heard you say something about was that the one I was on, the 65 I heard, yeah. Okay, that's pretty, you got all these machines hooked up there. But I do want to ask you before I forget, Sean, what about this, the GMR radios and stuff like that? Are y'all hooked up, y'all got those radios hooked up too?
All right, you're probably talking about the 443.625. That's the Mount Clemens machine, which I just switched to because I'm getting an itch footprint now. And I was getting a little bit out of the 175 footprint. Anywho, we've still got, Central Michigan MI8 network is got a lot of GMRS machines up and running. There's Detroit 1 and 2, Mount Clemens, and then a handful out in the, you know, to the north, Flint, Mayville, Saginaw, Bay City, but no networking anymore. It's, yep, those machines are just there, at least for now.
Well, I was told, Sean, that you guys are responsible for those GMR radios, too. Did y'all put up those towers for those radios there? Greg?
Yeah, we, that is a fully Central Michigan project, but I'm involved in that. And yeah, we put up pretty much all the, you know, the real repeaters on GMRS, our Central Michigan endeavors. Down here in Detroit, there's two in Detroit, there's one in Mount Clemens. And there's been one planned for Richmond for a while, but GMRS has its problems, and there's no respect for it, and the users are, most of them are fine, but there's just a bunch that are just really reckless, and I really don't feel like fueling that, so it's questionable how long it's going to go on. But for now, yes, we've got the three of the higher profile machines in the metro area here.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I tell you, I was trying to get my buddy in the ham radio, cause he thought he could just take that testing with no problem because he was a TV repairman, so he knows a lot about electronics. But I try to tell him, man, when you try to get your tech license, it's about learning the rules and regulations first and stuff like that. So he just got bored. He's not to get it. So he got on that GMR system y'all got there. And so him and his buddy talks on that. So I don't know. But I don't know. They're trying to get me to join there, but I don't think I need it. I'm having too much fun on amateur radio, Greg.
Yeah, I'll be quite honest. The only reason I did it is I never gave it a second thought, and then one day somebody, and I knew it existed. I had dabbled with it back in the 80s, and when I was working for Mobiltronics, or Allen Electronics, one of those comp shops. I forget which one. Me and a guy, Joe, we dabbled a little bit with it. But for the most part, I never thought about it again. And then it popped up, and I went and I dialed it up, and I heard two or three guys I knew from ham radio, and I went, what the hell is this all about? So I went over to the FCC website, and I looked into it, and I said, oh, pay $35 to give you a license for 10 years. So, click, next thing you know, I'm a day or two later, I've got a GMRS call sign. And didn't know what I was going to do with this, and I started reading the rules and all that stuff, and I said, oh, I've got repeaters, I've got sites. And so Detroit and Mount Clemens went up, and I don't know. It was quite exciting for about 5 minutes. And we got a lot of really, really good ham radio operators from there, guys that were really into it and all that stuff. But and I'm convinced there'll be more coming, but it's hard for people to go out there with any seriousness. So Detroit's not bad, but the Mount Clemens machine, it's like, it sounds like CB, so I doubt anybody would really want to go there. Don used to, good old Don, rest his soul. He used to get out there and anchor it, and that was a like a lighthouse for people. And no small part was responsible for some of those guys, learning and moving on to ham radio.
Yeah, I used to hear Don talking to, I forget this other gentleman he used to talk to, a young guy. I figure he's got a K-8. He got a K-8 license there. I used to hit him, you know, because with this AZ-991A, it will go out of band where you can hear, and I used to listen to them guys. I used to listen to them up there and stuff, so. Then, John, why do you like to go up there and get all this space on ham radio? Just to get away from the crowd, he said. So, you know, yeah, God bless his soul. Don used to be everywhere, man. I talked to him on 6 meters and everything, man. I miss Don. You know, it's sad that I think his girlfriend went before him. And, you know, he kind of kept it kind of quiet there. So then one day he was gone and then he was gone. Man, that was a heartbreaker, man. I really loved Don. Don used to be he was so knowledgeable on a lot of things. He used to help me out and everything. Oh, man. But, oh, well. I guess when it's your time to go, your time, then, Roger.
4ZYQ, good morning.
Good
morning, Joe. I got a little traffic snafu here at 16 Grosvenor. I've got to pay attention to. But go ahead, Joe, and I'll should be back around by the time he comes back.
KE4ZYQ, good morning. Yeah, I remember Don. I talked to him many times. And the guy that he used to talk to was a guy, I think it was KE4ZYQ, I think. What do you think there, Joe?
What Joe you talking about, Joe?
Passing that to Joe number two. Joe number one here.
I think you're Joe two.
Wait a minute, I'd like you to be two. Well, we don't want to get things mixed up. You can always, comedy show on TV and say, you don't have to call me, you can call me Jay. You don't have to call me Jay, you can call me Vern. I got many names there, so. But, yeah, Joe. Yep. I'll tell you, it's pretty cool, you know, that we got a lot of new hams coming in there, and they're new, and they ask. I like it when they ask questions and stuff, how they can improve their station and stuff like that. Like that one gentleman that just left there, you know. I love to be able to give them as much as knowledge as I got, you know, what I got there. You share with me. I don't know who it gets to you, Sean. I think it goes back over to you.
Yeah, I just have to work my way around. Looks like there might have been a fender bender in 16 in Grosvenor, and I couldn't see because the semi right behind the fender bender was I was right behind it, and I couldn't see what was going on. So, and then it's real low visibility, so trying to get out in the traffic on 16 was a bear, but we did it. Anyhow, just before I got sidetracked with that, Jay, you said, you know, why GMRS with all this we got here? Well, it was just because, like I said, it's because we can. And like I said, at first it was kind of neat because there was a lot of pretty cool people that, were decent and wanted to learn about radio and communications and all that stuff. And so, you know, we would kind of help them along with that and stuff. And there's a lot of really good conversations going out there. You probably remember when good old Professor Don would get out there, as they used to like to call him, and he loved it. He was right in his element there. You know, talk about noobs. They weren't even noobs yet. He loved it. So, I don't know why. That's why. I gave radio to my son, and, you know, he and I could use them if we were doing a lot of things where we were driving, you know, two different cars, you know, in the same location. We would use them, talk back and forth, and I figured, well, if I had my license, you know, we could use the repeaters and all that stuff, because at the time, they were all linked, all up and down the state. So, a lot of reasons then, not so much anymore. Go ahead, Joe. W8FQ.
K4ZYQ. Yeah, well, GMRS, I have mine, my license, and I've talked to Sean, I think, before, very rarely, but I've talked to Sean and others on it. It's a good second avenue of communications, especially if the grid goes down, there's major problems, and you got ham radio, you got GMRS, and not everybody can afford ham radio, so they may be able to use GMRS if they do it properly. But, Sean, you'll have to ask Joe number two there, who taught him as an Elmer about his 991A tightening up his VFO and locking it so he doesn't bump it and throw himself off frequency when he's talking or doing stuff with people. I don't know, Joe number two, who taught you about that VFO lock? Back to you.
What are you talking about, Joe? What lock? About radio? What are you talking about? I don't get it.
Your 991A there has a VFO knob, the big knob in the middle, over to the right. And you were bumping all the time, throwing yourself off frequency, and it was dialing. It was tough, and I told you how to tighten up the ring around it that locks it, and gets a little sturdy, and then you just lock out your VFO when you've got it all set so you don't accidentally bump it and throw it out of frequency. Over to you, Sean.
Joe, you sure you got the right guy? Because, first of all, that's Jay, not Joe. We've been going along with it just for fun, but I never heard him called Joe, one, two, or otherwise. But you sure you got the right guy? But anyhow, maybe so. Maybe this was something from the past you're recollecting. So, but we'll pass it over to Jay. Maybe he can clean it up.
Well, you know, my real name is Joseph. I'm a junior. My father used to call him Joe for short. But since I was junior, he used to call me Jay. And some people call me Joe, some people call me Jay, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I have my middle name is Vernon, so sometimes they call me Vern. I got many names. I have a twin sister to me, and her name is, you know, when we was in school, they used to call me Vernon, and they called her Bernice. So I got plenty. I'll answer to all of the names. How about that? How are you, Joe?
Yeah, K4ZYQ. No, I'm just messing with Jay. He knows that, Sean. But Jay, you remember the old comedian that used to say, you can call me Ray and you can call me Jay, but you don't have to call me Ray Jay. Somebody had that routine in his comedy skit. I think Sean may remember that. But yeah, my family, we had a lot of Joes and Josephs. In fact, my grandfather, my ma's my ma's father, he was Joe, and there were several other Joes. So one of the sons was named Joe. My ma's brother was named Joe, so they called him Bernard because that was his middle name, Bernie. So there you go. Over to you, Sean.
Well, you learn something new all the time. I think I've looked you up before, Jay, and saw your name was Joe, but just didn't register. I just know you as Jay, period, on the story. But from now on, you're Bern. That's it. I think of that because you're... Because you remind me, you ever see that little Vern Haney guy, that little short person? You remind me of him. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, well, I better keep this simple and just let people call me Jay because when I'm on HR, you know, talking to them guys and they says, oh, someone says, wait, your name is Jay? Joe. What? So what? You know, they realize that I have both of them as my name, so it's just, what do you want us to call you, Jay or Joe? I said, it all matter. Yeah, I'll answer to all of it, you know. And, yeah, Joe, I remember that comedy show, and that's why I got that. It says, you don't have to call me Jay, you call me Joe. You don't have to call me Joe, you call me Vern. Yeah, I remember that show a long time ago. Over to you.
Yeah, so Sean, how's the roads where you're going? Did they actually clear them out? And I don't think they put down salt in this time of year like this because it's so cold that they say salt doesn't do anything. Although it might give a little grit to the ground, I don't know, a little traction, maybe sliding capability, I don't know. But they say when it gets a certain temperature, salt is worthless. Back to you, Sean.
Yeah, roads are pretty bad, I gotta say. But I'm here at the window at Starbucks picking up my coffee, so give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Hey, Joe, you know, since you got that 991, hey, man, you ought to put you a car band up there in that attic, dual band. Get on 6 meters, man. You'll have a ball on 6 meters.
Well, Jay, I do have a HF for one that does multiple bands at Toy Box, Comet Toy Box. I just haven't got on it because I got other things that were going on, very seriously going on between utilities and warranty work and health and just necessities getting in the way. I don't fire up the Comet Toy Box multi-band HF with 10 meters. I think it does have 6 on it. But I just haven't done it and matched it up and checked the SWR and all that fun stuff you should do and got to do. But maybe once the band start opening up come spring or whatever, and 10 like it usually does open up, whatever, I'll get in there and investigate this year.
All right.
You back, son?
Yep, got my coffee. Getting back out on the road here for the final mile. But, yeah, let's see. I'm going to do that too, Jay. My name's Sean. Nobody calls me S, but they have called me Mac over on P25. But let's see. My middle name starts with a J. My middle name is Jeremiah. So you can call me Jay. So from now on, I'm Jay, too.
K-E-A-W-O-K. Well, all right. Sounds like we got another number from somebody else in there. Okay, well, Sean, it's all good. It's all good. No doubt about it, yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And yeah, Joe, you know, I mean, you might as well put that radio to more to use there, because that's 6 meters, man. When the band opened on that, man, whew, sideband and FM. When they first put that repeater up, Midtown Detroit, I guess you probably know Collins, and them put it up, and they were talking to a guy on sideband when the band was opening up, and I guess he was sounding so good, they gave him the PL and the offset to the 6 meter repeater in Midtown Detroit. And that guy sounded like he was right here. Right here. Oh, did you, whoever that was, break it in, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rick.
KEWOJ. Good morning, fellas. And, Sean, I was just trying to catch you here, last couple of days there before you get to the, office there. I remember that, 277 Sig Fury I was telling you about. Well, it turns out they got a few more of them now in standard calibers. And when I catch you again when you're on the road a little bit longer, I'll explain it to you. It's amazing. They're not coming out with new calibers anymore. They're coming out with that new case. And it makes the 308 shoot, like they got a 308. It makes the 308 shoot a little faster than a 3.6. But anyway, I wanted to jump in there and let you know. I'll catch up to you sometime, fill you in on it. KAWOJ, I'm not sure where it goes.
Yeah, KU4ZYQ, let's see if Sean has a reply.
Yeah, I'll have to take you up on that and get some. I did a little research on that one you were describing, and yeah, the pressures are uncanny and frightening, but, you know, if the technology's there to do it, but, you know, high pressure is Well, that's scary stuff. All right, we'll talk about it. I am, though, on my final approach here to work, though, so no time to do it now. Plus, we got a lot of folks out here. But good deal, Rick. Appreciate the info when I get it. I'm trying to think. I don't think you're on the Discord. Say we could chat there, but whatever. All right, who gets it next? Let's see. I'm going to send it to Joe because he just jumped in and sent it to me. So, Joe, go ahead. I don't know if I'll be out of the car by the time it comes back around to me, but if so, everybody have a good day. Stay safe. Stay warm. Stay dry. All that good stuff. W8FU. Joe?
KU4CYQ. Well, Sean, good hearing from you. Hope you're getting to work fine and safe, obviously. And thanks for all you do to keep these repeaters going and up, all the links or whatever. I'm on the Mount Clements one like you were after you got closer. So thanks for putting those together and working and maintaining and everything else. And they're not taken for granted by this operator. So over to Jay, KU4CYQ.
Yeah, Roger. Okay, Sean. We catch you later. Catch you on down the balls here. But I almost forgot what's his name? What's your name? K-E-O-J, W-O-J. We used to talk on 6 meters there at once upon a time there. So I don't know if you still got that set up there, but. Joe Bear, he had a lot of fun on that fix there. He said when the band opened up, man, we used to have a net going off at one time when they had Don and his girlfriend, they used to run the net. And it'd be a bunch of people. Man, they had a guy way up here in some kind of, I forget what county, another county about 60, almost 70 miles away you get into that 6 meter repeater. So, you gotta get you an answer or something like that, but that thing to use, man. So you can talk on there. But anyway, I'll let you guys go ahead. I'm gonna have to get me something to munch on. So I'll say 73s. Talk to y'all later. You feel me, AWG. I'm out of here.
K4ZYQ. Well, Mr. Rick, if you're still on frequency, how is the temperature out there on the porch?
Outside, and I am, I'm an icicle, so I am going to climb back into bed for another hour or so until I thaw out and then see what happens there. So you guys have a good one there. I just wanted to catch up with Sean. You guys have a good one. We'll catch you later. KEHWOJ.
Hey, Rick, I just want to let you know if you're still on frequency. I thought of you the other day because a black cat was yelling, walking past my house here, and I caught it on outside the viewing there. I saw it, and the little black cat looked just like Rambo, the picture of Rambo. That little cat was just yelling, wanting help or yelling for something, and you hear that meowing walking by as it was yelling. So there you go, 73 from KE4ZYQ. K-E-W-O-J, K-E-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q. K-E-W-O-J, K-E-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q. Negative contact, K-E-A-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q, clear.
Oh yeah, this thing working.
W-A-F-U-W-A-R-I-T. Good afternoon, Sean. How are you? Hey, here's Dave.
Well, I'm okay, Dave. The roads are much better than they were on the way in this morning. All those little spots that pop up,
you got to be careful of, but otherwise they're in pretty good shape.
Still pretty cold, but I'm sure you know that. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty darn good here. I'm off from work, heading home, and yes, I agree. Roads are much, much better. Didn't take half as long getting home as it did get in. That's all right. Didn't have to really worry about just getting late because everybody else was late anyway. So, it was pretty darn slow today getting in, and some of it was just I thought with somebody, it was good that people were driving slow for safety, but some of it was just a little bit overkill because I think there were people that were a little bit too much on that. But anyway, boys, nice sunny day, and I got a few days back, I picked up a cheap drone for $40. I'm going to see about maybe putting that up in the air and taking some pictures here, see how well it goes. I'm not going to get adventurous. I'm just going to raise it up, do a 360, bring it on down.
Well, the air seems calm, so that's always good for taking up a drone. I don't see much wind at all. And blue skies, nice visibility. It's going to have to be fast, though. It's going to be dark in, a couple hours, so. Can't dilly-dally, so it'll be up after dark.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking a couple days ago. I had it sitting there in a sunny day, and I said, I better get out, and I ended up doing something else around the house, and by the time I finished that, I was like, I better get the drone up. I looked down in the basement and went upstairs and looked at them. Oh, it's dark. Forget it. Yeah, that kind of sucks. I wish they would leave the daylight savings alone myself. Just keep it one standard time, and then maybe our circadian rhythms would adjust better.
No, you won't get no argument here. I think daylight savings is the stupidest thing. I don't see any point. And we were debating that a few months back about why they did it. And I didn't realize it was only back to the oil crisis back in the 70s. I thought it was longer than that. I thought it had something to do with farming and stuff like that, but turns out no. But I did read up a little bit on it, and I guess there's been weird attempts at it under different names and different ways over the years, going back to, the early 20th century, but I don't understand. And as far as drone goes, what one do you got? I don't know if I'd get one personally, but I'd like to get one for work. The problem is, if I get one for work, it would be that we could use it for work. And if I use it for work, then I gotta have pilots, and there's a cost, for that and everything. I'm not a
not adverse to having a few people go out and get trained, but I don't know. But boy, they would sure make power inspections and things like that. They sure would come in handy.
Yeah, there's a lot of uses for it. I don't know if I really have a whole lot in my line of work. Maybe, but it would be a little bit difficult and maybe somewhat dangerous in some locations. Fly a drone around or something like that. Yeah, I've got to learn a little bit more of the legality of it and such. I'm in St. Clair Shores, and I'm kind of close by to the Coast Guard station along 9 Mile there, so just have to watch out if there's like ever a low flying helicopter or something. I don't know how much of the law I necessarily need to apply as far as that goes. I think some people, you know, get an FAA certification and tie in with GPS so that way you can't fly your drone like nearby an airport and anything like that. Not that I would do something stupid like that. Let me ask you this, son. What kind of work are you in? I don't know. I work with, Tom, KCTA-KKO. He does a different function than I do. I do installations, but so it can be kind of used in some ways, but for our line of work. But it'll be pretty hard to watch out for the danger aspect of harming other people if you crash it or something.
Yeah, well, I know there are requirements when you get around airports, and I know it's fairly well spelled out. So. Certain heights, certain distances, things like that. They got it well mapped out. You can pretty much stay safe that way. But you know, you got to look into it. You got to make sure you get it right. And I'm in radio communications, so a drone would be very handy for the work we do. Particularly, I got a lot of tower sites, and they need regular inspection and. And rooftops and things like that for various reasons. It'd be quite good. I do have some law enforcement drones in public safety communications, and I do have some of our teams have drones, both search and rescue and fire and police. So I could probably get those guys to come do them as infrequently as I need to. That's probably the smarter move. But
it'd be nice to have our own. Yeah, there's some uses. I didn't really thought about that. That's some pretty useful. Yeah, use it for like some law enforcement purposes. I don't think I've ever seen it other than for like surveillance for crowds and such. But I've seen the home inspectors use it for doing roof inspections and stuff like that. I wouldn't mind using it at home for supporting maybe even a piece of twine or fishing line at first to fly over a tree, and then you can use it to get some wire for some pre-supported wire dipoles and such, which is something I got to do myself here. I got to get my other antenna here. I've only got a 40-meter dipole up currently here. Yeah, there's some nice uses for it. Like, it'd be nice to even use it for the hobby here. I guess if you can, wire dipole that you could use to change and maybe have six of them. That way you could fly like a Yagi or something that would change, as you direct it to.
Oh, yeah, there's certainly a lot of uses in the hobby. And I've heard of people doing that. I've heard people using them to get their wires up in the trees and other creative antenna work that I know has been done with drones. So that's definitely definitely something that can be done. So I had one, an amateur, he gets out here, Greg, KUGSI, he brought one out to one of my tower sites when we were doing some work, and it wasn't work, it was kind of work and a little hammy, and so, we had him come out and eyeballed an installation and saw a problem,
and we're able to unfortunately solve a problem, because, you know, that's the first part's getting up there and seeing the problem. The second part is getting somebody to go up and fix it. That's the hard part. W8FU.
And W8RAT returning here. Okay, so well, I'm probably going to cut you loose here, Sean, because I'm just down the street here and you're ready to pull in, so nice to chat with you. Did have one other question I wanted to ask you. You said that you work in the radio communications industry. I'm assuming it's, you know, two-way radio and such. So I'm just kind of curious if you ever happened to have met Tom over at Tri-County Communications. I had a friend who used to part-time work for him as well, too. Another ham, I think he's since moved up towards Sam Blank, I think, since, well, past 2 years. I don't know if you know Jeff any back then, but just kind of curious if you've ever bumped into Tom. I think he's since retired now.
Not ringing a bell. I knew a couple of folks that worked for Chris over the years, but Tom's not ringing a bell. And but it's a small industry. I was in it privately starting in the late 70s through the 80s, and then I've been in the public sector doing public safety pretty much for the last 35 years. So I've been out of that realm for a while. But Tom doesn't ring a bell, and many of the people from that industry do.
Okay, like I said, I was just kind of curious if you ever happened to run into him or something with, you know, being in the same line of working at. Okay, well, son, I say I'm in the driveway, so nice chatting with you. Have a great day, and I'll chat with you later. I'll listen on out. W8RIT.
K8RUH.
Hello, Anthony. All right. W8 receive incremental tuning. Catch you later, Dave. Go ahead, Anthony.
Sean, you must be close to home or you're out on a different mission, because I am running way behind and you're still on the radio.
I am about a mile and a half from the house. I've got to just go a little bit up here, turn into the sub, and then snake through the sub. I'm coming in the back way, so a little bit extra sub. So, not far. You just getting out on the road now?
Yep, just left the office and probably got to go home and do a little bit more work. I got super busy today, which is great, but I got to, hopefully I can get everything done and get the household chores and whatnot done, because I had intended on trying to make it to the ARPS meeting tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Are they still having it? I mean, now the roads are pretty good, but I think when they were trying to make the decision, they were really horrible, and they may have called it off. I don't know. I don't know what the status is. Last I saw, it looked like it got kind of penciled out on my calendar, so.
Well, I will have to...
NACWRO.
That would actually be great if it got canceled, because then I would have my evening to accomplish a few things. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I'll find out. I'll send those guys a message in the Discord or something. But, right now the roads seem pretty good. I don't know. You know, they're still wet. Might get a little nasty tonight when it goes back into a deep freeze. But for now, I'm happy compared to this morning.
Good afternoon, W8WW.
Good afternoon, Zane. And, yes, the roads are wet and sloppy, but very drivable. I found a few spots. I was cruising along 16 mile, and there were a few spots where it either blew or drifted, and it was caught you a little off guard. So if you were clipping along at a good pace because it was just wet, and, the thing about freezing, Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we are very, very much below freezing here now, but yet the roads are wet. So, there you go. Interesting. James, go ahead and make one. Pass it over to Anthony.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a mile and a half from the house. Heard you guys in, thought I'd say hello. Yeah, I got a bit coming home from downtown. The roads were pretty good, and I was doing 60 with no problem. But, yeah, this morning was so, my God, horrible isn't even the word. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad I have what I drive. As, you know, it basically took the roads and laughed at them. Take it, Anthony, W-8-W-W.
How's it going, James? Yeah, you know, this morning was rough, but it is definitely better now. And Sean, I think the reason there's so much water on the roads, you know, it's still as it is, it's that sun, man. That sun changes everything. It makes it so much better. So I don't think we're getting sun again tomorrow, but in the meantime, hopefully we can get a little melt off and the roads will clear up, sidewalks and all that jazz.
Comment? Go ahead. Hey, Sean and Anthony, just FYI, the meeting is still on for tonight. NISD will still be open. N8WRO, back over to whoever's next. I'll step out. Just want to let you know that.
All right, Tim, thanks for that, because for some reason on my calendar, my Outlook calendar, it looked like it got crossed out. And I know you were talking earlier when we were still not sure about whether it would be open or not. I know there was some question. So, okay, good to know. I am pulling up at home here, so I'm going to make this my last. I'll probably hear the next couple, but pretty much home. W-8-W-W to take it. W-8-F-U, now clear.
W-8-F-U in the group, W-8-W-W. Yeah, this is going to be my final as well. But, yeah, I got a number of things to do. We're, my wife and I are on Tuesday going to drive to Grand Rapids to look at a possible dog to adopt. And if that meeting goes well, they'll bring it on Saturday. Or a week from this Saturday, I should say. So I got to get the house cleaned up. Not to mention, I got to go and mail myself some rebar and a copper pipe down to where I'm staying in Florida. I'm going to take my little Zygo and a couple batteries, and There's a Canaveral National Seashore there that I'm going to go stick the pipe in the water with the sand, use the rebar as a little bit of a additional support, and which makes me have to add the list. I got to go and add the 17-foot extendable antenna. Make sure I take that and the nano VNA. So it's going to be a fun night indeed. Take it, Anthony, W8WW.
All right, guys. Have a great evening. Tim, thanks for the information. I don't know what all you heard, but my intentions are to make it, but I had a wild day. So we'll see what we can do. Hopefully I'll get to meet some of you guys face-to-face tonight. This is J-E-A-R-U-H, and I will be monitoring for a little bit here.
N-A-D-D-F.
What's up, buddy?
Driving home, almost got in two car accidents because traction control is the dumbest thing in the world. And, yeah, what about you?
Just on my way home, later than normal, but what are you going to do? Just glad the sun's out. That's what I'm happy about today.
Me too, because this morning at 6:30, 6:45, I was standing on top of my 8-foot ladder outside putting up a solar mesh tastic node. So I'll get to see if it's working or not. Although, I don't know, it's pretty damn cold. I don't know if it's going to charge in this low temp.
So you're back in the mesh-tastic game, huh?
So KTMR was messing around with it, and he'd mention it every now and again. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? There's no way it's any good. He goes, I'm telling you. He goes, there's so much traffic now. And he's like, you should just get a node to mess around with, try it out. So I bought just a Helltech V3 board and a battery, printed a case, put a MuziWorks on it. I was like, $40 in. I'm like, okay, whatever. Bring it to work, start seeing tons of nodes, hitting nodes on the way to work, and then there's nodes north of me now, east of me now, and it's like, okay, well, there's actually substantial activity to where I could use this. So then I bought a couple more. I really like these Seed Studios ones. They're probably the best ones I've used. And I was like, all right, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to deal with anything on my desk. I'll buy a solar node to put up on my antenna mast. Out of sight, out of mind. It's either going to work or it's not. And I bought it on Amazon. So I got 30 days to return it if I don't want it. So I put that up, and that was this morning. And it's been, I got one at the office. It's kind of impressive, dude. I told you, like, Dave got my message from my house at 23 and card.
That's wild. I have been seeing a lot more nodes, but I have not been seeing traffic on long fast. Like, people are not using it for messaging as of right now. So I don't know if you're seeing people messaging each other on it, or you're just seeing more nodes and seeing that the network is building out. But I don't know. I haven't been seeing traffic per se. I have been seeing a lot more nodes pop up, though.
So I agree with that. I do not see very much communication other than, like, the nodes I directly message. But as far as, like, primary channel, I'll get, like, the random tests or someone pretending they're an alien or something stupid like that. But there's no one really conversing out there on Meshtastic, but it's really just a lot of these beaconing nodes that are popping up as a new node discovered.
Yeah, which is good, don't get me wrong. You can't put the cart before the horse. The network has to be there in order for people to be communicating on there. So, you know, that was kind of my theory all along, that I left my rooftop node on until I did an over-the-air update and it didn't complete correctly, and now there's snow on my roof and I can't get up there, but whatever. I'll get to it in the spring. But you got to have the network, and if the network's there, people may start communicating on them, or at least it's available to communicate on them.
If you build it, they will come, right? And that's what we were saying when we were first messing with this at this time last year. It's like, we were, like, the only nodes in the area, so it was really hard for us to accomplish anything. But I think Meshtastic is a max hop of 7, so the more dense it gets, the easier it'll be to send messages, you know, really far away with a little pocket gadget.
Absolutely, and you think about it, like you said, for like $40, you can have a node that you keep with you, and for less than $100, you can build one that's a solar one on your house. So, you know, if it can pique somebody's interest, it will start to work. It'll fill itself in.
NADBF. Yeah, this is not a high cost of entry, large investment type toy. It's a toy, right? We all agreed on this the last time. But the fact that the hardware is getting better, the firmware is getting better, and it seems to be becoming more relevant in the area, it's like, why not screw around with it? I'm not banking on this turning into anything impressive, but if it does, sweet.
Yeah, I mean, Heck, I would really like it if it turned into something great. I don't know that it will, but it would be really cool because they are $40 notes, and you could convince anyone to spend $40 on a node or just buy them for people, and then they have them. So it's pretty cool. K8RUH.
Yep, so that's been my little dive back into Meshtastic. I'm done buying nodes for now. I've got what I need. I have more than I need. I got one at the office, just up in my third floor server room, plugged in. And then I got the solar node at home, and then I got two portables, so I'm good there. It's cool because KTMR lives like a mile from me, and we can test stuff without wondering if we're making contact with anybody, which is the nice thing. So I'll just learn a little bit more about it. But anyway, I was looking at those kickstands for that tablet again today, and I still cannot pull the trigger on a $59 kickstand.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't done anything with mine since the day I came and grabbed it from you, so I haven't even looked at it. It's been on a shelf next to my desk for like a month. So I'll get around to it sooner or later. At some point I'll try to figure out how to put that software package on it. MCOM tools. But I haven't spent any time with that as of late.
I honestly forgot that I even put that on there. And mine's been doing the same thing. It's just sitting on a shelf in my office. It's got Android 8 on it, I think.
Did you end up putting that MCOM tools on yours? I know you tried to get it on mine, and it never went through. It never finished the load.
No, I never did. It's got Android 8 on it right now. And I pulled it out today, and I'm like, damn it, I still never got or made a kickstand. So I might try to 3D print one, but I don't know. I just think that's corny for something like that. You got this rugged tablet, and then you 3D print a kickstand.
Well, you could print one, make sure that it's worthwhile, and then spend the $60 on the metal one.
That's probably what's going to happen, and I know that if I put Linux on it, it'll be completely fine.
Yeah, they are cool devices, that's for sure. You just need to find a use case for it so it's not sitting on the shelf.
That's the tricky part. I'm in the crater, so I probably sound like crap, sorry. It's not like it's a headless PC that you stuff in a rack and use. But it's also not very convenient as a laptop, but it's also a tablet you can throw off of a building. So it's like, what do you do with it?
That is about the best description of it you could possibly make. It's so useful, it's useless.
I think it's the perfect device to go activate parks with if you got somewhere to set up shop, get the kickstand for it, log your contacts and whatever else, throw in a bag, you don't have to worry about it. I think that's where it'll excel.
Absolutely. You know, with that keyboard and everything, just like you said, you just need the kickstand. Eventually, we're just going to have to bite the bullet and buy it.
Do you know what kind of life those devices lived before you got your hands on them?
Came from a survey company, like an engineering firm, like civil engineering firm.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, a lot of times that kind of stuff is just like government stuff, but in this case, those ones came from the civil engineering firm.
Yeah, that's the proper use case. Tons of field work, set it on a tailgate or on a truck bed, get to work, don't worry about it, throw it in the truck, put it on the seat, throw it in the back seat, whatever.
Yep, I have a couple of, I think they're G-Tech rugged that I gotta sell. They're really nice. They're, for what they are, they're like 10th or 11th gen processors. And they're like kind of, you know, these ruggeds go in cycles. For a long time, Panasonic was the hot one, and then Dell ruggeds were hot, and then these G-Techs have been giving the Dells a little bit of a run for their money, at least in the secondary market that I've seen.
I've never heard of G-Tech. Is that an independent brand, or is it like a line?
No, it's a brand. It's a G-E-T-E-C, I believe. And they're, you know, they're not a small company, but they are specifically, as far as I know, they're specifically rugged. They make tablets and desktops. Or, I'm sorry, not desktops, laptops. And they're pretty cool. They're high value. And there's some demand in the market, but they're not, you know, not as huge as the Dells, that's for sure. Because they don't have that Dell name.
I'm going to look at them because all of our shops, the mechanics use Toughbooks, and they cost a fortune. I will give it to them. The Toughbooks hold up way better than other Dell laptops, but the price is ridiculous, and I just don't like buying Dells anymore.
Yeah, wait till you start buying stuff and you see the 10 to 15 to 20% increase in all of it real soon.
Oh, I know. I've been buying Lenovo's the last 2 years, and I just set this price steadily increases. And it's like, dude, I hit my wrap up. I'm like, why? Stop. And it's just the RAM, the tariffs at first, still, it's just so stupid how much these things cost.
Oh, if you think they went up in the past, they're going to spike hard real soon. This, all of this stuff, all these components that are being sucked up by AI is making the market insane. It's wild what stuff is selling for right now. And it's even more wild that people are buying.
I'm glad I bought my PC when I did. I was talking to my buddy the other day, and I was like, I bet you any money this PC is worth double what I paid for it 5 or 6 months ago.
Absolutely. You could probably get, even though it's used, you could probably sell it for 125 to 140% of what you bought it. You bought it new and selling it used and still get that kind of money. Maybe even more.
If I didn't like it so much, I'd probably do it and just upgrade, but it's all relative. I'm going to sell it high, then I got to go buy high, but yeah, I was talking to him about the specs on it and stuff. I'm like, the raw components for this computer cost pretty much double what I paid for the computer assembled brand new in the box with a warranty.
Yep, it is wild. Hey, I'm pulling in the driveway, so I'll listen out, but maybe I'll catch you in the morning or Monday morning. We'll talk to you soon. KEARUH.
All right, man, sounds good. Yeah, I'm about 10 minutes out here, so I'm going to clear as well. I'll catch you later. N8DBF.
KF, Kate here.
KE8RUH.
WHKTK Joe. Anthony, you going to make the meeting tonight? I am en route. Sweet, it'll be nice to put a face to the voice. Absolutely. I'm assuming you're on your way also. Affirmative, sir. As a matter of fact, daughter and wife are coming. Because my daughter's like, oh, they're building antennas? That sounds kind of interesting. So she's going to check it out. And then they're going to take off after a little bit. And Jim is going to drive me home. Very cool. Yeah, it should be a good time. I didn't know there was an activity. Should be fun, though. Yeah, tonight we're learning how to make a tape measure Yagi, and ABDZ is showing it. We can use it for like fox hunts and stuff like that. And my wife Melissa used to work for Chris, so you have a mutual person that you know. Yeah, that's right. That'll be fun to tell Chris. I won't see him tomorrow, but I'm certain I'll see him Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, we just got to put the B in his bonnet and get him to get his ticket and come to this. Yeah, you know, I've pushed him a little bit here and there, and I don't know that he really has any interest, but he at a certain level, he does have interest, I think. Well, maybe I'll get Melissa to push him a little bit. I know I talked to him on it. I mean, he's techy enough. He can get his ticket really easy. Yeah, a little discipline, and he would a little bit of studying, and he would probably make easy work of it. You know, it's not that hard. It just takes some discipline and some time to study. Yeah, that's what I was telling my daughter. You know, and like I said, that's why she's coming up. She's like, oh, that seems kind of interesting. So she wants to see how it works and stuff like that, and when we had our ARPS picnic, she was actually involved in the fox hunt with a couple other new members that were around her age. So that was, she got kind of the bug in her on that aspect. And then Melissa, my wife, she's got her GMRS ticket. So she's been working on getting her AM ticket. Very cool. Making it a family affair. Oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, I got my, from Dakota, I got that duplex Yaki. I got that installed in the attic, and I got my Alinko down in my son's old room on a power supply that Sean gave me. And I got that just, you know, I got that new Fusion radio that I got in my work truck now, so I'm getting there. Are you making it out pretty well with that Alinko and the Yagi? Yeah, as a matter of fact, of course I hit Richmond on 5 watts, and then on VHF Macomb, I can hit right down to the Richmond repeater, actually all the way down to Mount Clemens. And just for SMGs, I tried hitting the GM repeater in Detroit. Pop that one too, so I'm pretty excited. Yeah, actually that doesn't surprise me. That GM repeater has so much reach, it's nuts, and it's surprisingly, and I could be wrong, maybe I just listened at the wrong times, but it's surprisingly inactive unless it's time for a net. Oh, yeah, not only that, but DJ repeater, man, that thing can really reach out there, too. Yeah, you know what, I've been using LTS a lot since the Warren FBI is not linked at the moment, and I've been in Troy at the office and talking on that repeater. It's surprising the kind of reach that it has. It's awesome. Oh, yeah, LTS can get down, I use it down there in Taylor and I think I can almost get E-course with it. So it's got good coverage south and west, and northern coverage. I have pretty good all the way up in Rochester, you know, through the trees and everything up there in Oakland Township.
Yep, it is. It is a good one, and I. It's one of the few that I can get into on an HT from my house. It's not great, but I can get into it and have some good conversations.
Oh, absolutely! I love it. Like I said, I think our FBI and CMN is just phenomenal in coverage. And when Phil gets his back up on the west side there, we'll be popping some military as well.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky with this network that they've put together that you can be all over town and talk in on the same group of people.
Absolutely. You got DMR in your vehicle there? I think I just saw Wally pop up on DMR.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm on the Detroit repeater and on there. So I didn't see it pop up, but maybe I'll see if I can switch it over to Mount Clemens quickly.
All right, I'll meet you over on DMR. KKKQ.
K8RUH. See you there. Hey, Tom, I must not be getting in. I can hear you guys, but I'm not getting into Mount Clemens. So I'll just catch up with you there. K8RUH.
I can chat here for a little bit. It's not a problem.
Sounds good, sir.
Out of road.
Yeah, we'll get you here. I'm parked next to a blue Maverick and a black Sonata. And I'll see you in the room.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I think Wally said he can be over on this side for a few minutes. But, yeah, I'm just shocked how bad the roads still are. I was just on 16 Mile Road. It was completely snow-covered.
I was teasing the guys at work today, like, when they send all you Eastsiders to, native Eastsiders to driving school, don't they teach you how to put a four-wheel drive truck into four-wheel drive? I literally saw three-quarter ton four-wheel drive truck stuck at the intersection, spinning his rear tires to gross back Kent Hall Road, and he must have been there about 4 or 5 minutes. I almost wanted to get out of the car and just think to pull the lever.
Yeah, you know, the same could be said for if they know how to drive plow trucks, I guess. I'm on Grosbeck now, and it's much better. Not necessarily snow-covered, but it is. After a sunny day, I am very disappointed in the way they maintain these roads.
Yeah, for some reason today, and it's always easy to pile on, but for some reason today, they didn't do too much. And I don't know what the reason was. And it wasn't just one entity. It was lots of entities. Even in my subdivision, they haven't got to that yet either. So I don't know. And usually they're pretty quick. They had like a little three-quarter ton pickup truck up there doing the intersections. But the roads are still pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like snow plow truck drivers are on strike or something. I don't know. Like, this morning, the roads were terrible. They didn't do anything overnight. And I feel like they haven't done a heck of a lot still. Some of these roads got, like, one sweep of plowing, but they haven't done anything else.
My street got plowed. You know, and of course, I got a little bit of salt in front of my house. But that's it. I mean, an M19 was plowed. But Hall Road was terrible this morning. We've been out since 9 o'clock in all this muck down here, and Hall Road still looks like crap.
Just drove by Jack's car wash, and I actually saw somebody in the car wash getting their car washed.
there is a dedicated car lover.
Hey, if you pay for the subscription, you might as well take advantage of it.
Hey, the car dealer, $2 a month.
For almost everything.
You
can wash your car
every
day,
twice a day. Because that's how you ruin all of the seals. Because water gets in there when you open it. And it freezes
all up
and it rips the seal. So I kind of took that to heart. But yeah, I was just saying, if it's free or included, let's use that word. That's a better word, included.
So the car wash just get all the major gook off. And now it needs to be washed again. So probably do it tomorrow or something.
Okay, Tommy, you and I keep doubling.
Go ahead, Wally.
You know, I was saying, I said, I went to the ump. I had a car dealer tell me one time, if it gets below 24, don't wash the car. That's where they shut their car washes off at, because that's where the rubbers will freeze to the dug of the car, and then, you know, all the insulation and stuff like that, when you open it, he says that's where you start ripping all that, the rubber and the insulation is about 24 degrees. And my thermal bob says it's 18. So I kind of took that to heart. So anytime it gets right around 25, I don't take it to the car wash. You know, but I get the point. You know, if it's included in your package, but okay, is it really worth ripping your, you know, your rubbers, you know, on the door moldings or whatever they're called, the insulation part? Go ahead, Anthony. W-A-D-D.
I think that's a good rule to abide by. I don't necessarily know that it's true, but you gotta set benchmarks, and that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, you don't want to deteriorate all the seals and everything. So, I'm gonna try to remember that one. K-E-8-R-U-H. Over to you, Tom.
Easy, KGO. Or you can get some Armor All. Spray it on a cloth and wipe it down all your rubber seals, and that'll help keep them from sticking to the doors. Also, tri-flow petroleum will help too, and it'll moisten up the rubber seals, keep it from sticking. The guys would tell me that, but that works also. All right, I'm going to go inside. I will see both of you here. So if you're coming to 3-2 right now, see you shortly. KGO.
I should see you guys in about 5. Where am I? In front of the Target. So, Anthony, I'll meet you finally. In front of the Target, or in front of the school, or in the school. And Tom, I'll see you in a minute. WAVD, clear after Anthony.
All right, I'll see you gentlemen there. I'm 6 minutes out. I'm at, Romeo Plank and Heinrich, Cass and Heinrich, whatever it's called here. So I'm 6 minutes out. I'll see you guys there. K-E-8-R-U-H.
W-G-T-X. W-G-T-X.